We've got this evangelist. He's come from the big city of Lafayette, Indiana. He grew up all over. He's the son of a barber. Yes, not a Baptist, a barber. And we were just flashing around a picture of him earlier, of him and Katrina when they were dating, and Adam had hair down to here. Honestly, he looked like Bon Jovi. He really did. But anyway, it's just neat to see how God radically changes your life. And I met Adam right after he got saved. And I'm telling you, God radically changed his life. He really did. I don't know if it was a night in jail that did it. I don't know what it was. But I know that God radically changed his life. And man, he became, when you were around Adam Light, when he first got saved, and you still is, he was just a beaming light. He really was. And just so on fire for the Lord. He didn't care who he was talking. Now, he and his dad used to have a hair salon, and you couldn't sit in his chair without Adam getting something in about Jesus. It was true. He was just cutting away, telling them about the Lord, whether they wanted to hear it or not. You know, they were probably scared he'll mess my hair up if I don't tell him to shut up. So, but anyway, Adam loves the Lord, and he's a godly man, and the Lord is doing so many things, growing him in so many ways. His love language is touch, so I'm going to give him a hug so he feels good this morning. And so you pray for him, amen?
Now I'm going to tease him. I feel like I just hugged Barney. No, I'm kidding. Okay, he teased himself about that earlier, so he knows. I love it. Words of encouragement, right? Isn't that your? So, you know, is that it? That's the other one. If you want to see another one, there's I got this anyway. You can see me afterwards. The real funny thing was I had a size 28 inch waist. Hello, wow. And yes, that guy was saved actually in that picture. I was already saved, but. Man, it's been a week. It's been a month. Owen's not kidding. And when he said that to me, you know, I said yes so quick because when he told me, he actually said to me, I'd like you to speak on this. And I said, you know, that's the Lord, because I just was listening to something on the radio on the way in about what I'm going to talk about. I had my notes out on my desk from the day before. Just God had reminded me about a message on this. And you're kind of wondering already. I'm not going to tell you yet. But, you know, about what God wants to do. And it was just interesting. You know, God always sets me up. I don't know about you. And it's been pressure this week. But some things are really good under pressure, aren't they? I mean, you wouldn't have a diamond if there wasn't thousands of years of pressure on that lump of coal. So if you look at me this morning, you think, boy, he's a lump of coal. I'm a diamond in the rough. That's what I am. You know, when I go to the family reunion on Katrina's side of the family, somebody always makes those green beans with ham and lard in there. You got to have lard, you know, and pressure cooker. You know what I'm talking about? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Man, that's good, isn't it? Wouldn't have it without pressure, would you? It wouldn't be any good. So I'd say that this morning because you better get ready. This message, I'm telling you, I'm excited because it's a packed house. Man, if we get this morning, I'm not kidding you, this message can transform our church. I know that. Whew, man, I tell you, I was standing back there in my office praying, and I felt like, man, God, who am I to say these things? And God just said, because I called you. Amen? God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. And this morning, I've got something to say to you. I'm speaking for him, and if you'll open your heart right now, I'm telling you, you can get this, and it can transform your life and our life as a church and take us where God wants us to go. You heard Pastor just talking about the land is paid off. Do you guys realize the magnitude of that? A church this size to have 30 acres paid off is huge. To have just a few more months, however long it takes to get this building paid off, not that much longer, is huge. We'll be in a great position when we get ready to do that next thing that God wants us to do. Amen? And man, thank the Lord for a pastor who doesn't want us to be strapped and be tight and wants to make sure that we can go and really do all the things God's called us to do. Amen? Amen. Well, this morning, I'll tell you what, before we get going, can we just pray real quick? Because I just believe we've got to get our hearts in the right place. If worship didn't do that for you, then maybe this prayer will. But I hope you're already there. But let's just pray. Could you pray with me? Father, we thank you so much for all that you've already done in our lives. God, if you never do another thing, you've done enough. Jesus was enough. But Lord, you're not going to stop there. You tell us you've got plans for us to prosper us and not to harm us, plans to give us a future and a hope. And Lord, there's so much more that you want to do this morning. I pray you would prepare our hearts this morning for the things you want to say. Lord, help me to get out of the way and just let you do what you want to do. And I just pray in Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning, I got a million notes, but I'm not going to look at hardly any of them. Dave likes that. He said amen over there. But they're here just in case I need to kind of jog my memory because I'm forgetful. And that's all right. God loves me anyway. He can use that no matter what. How many of you, let me start with this because I got to lay a little foundation before I get into my message. It's okay. There's no game today. So don't worry. You know, we'll be out by two. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Most folks that know me know I'd rather preach short and have you get it than to keep droning on and then you're just asleep. Somebody's in the back going, you know, and, hey, wake up, you know. How many of you believe that this book is the inerrant, perfect word of God? Anybody in here believe that? How many of you believe that we ought to do the things it says we ought to do? Amen? And we ought not to do the things it says we ought not to do. Right? Now get ready. I'm laying a foundation. You're going to be able to back up. I'm going to have you in a corner a minute. Okay? It's a good corner to be in, though. I'm in God's corner. Amen? We should follow those things. Should we follow some of the things or everything? Say that again. How many things should we follow in there? Should we follow some or all? Oh, that was good. One more time. All. Okay. Uh-oh. You're right on. We should do all. And, as I was praying there, I talked about God having a plan to prosper you. You know, if you knew, if I came before you this morning and I said, I've got a plan for you that's going to set you free financially. And, man, if you'll just get in this plan, then it's a guarantee. I promise you, you'll go so much farther than you could ever go without this. You got to know this thing, though. But if you get this thing, don't worry. Some of you look at me like, oh, he's going to sell me Amway. No, it's not Amway. It's okay. Okay. This is a guarantee. Okay. Now, Amway is not bad. It's not bad. They have great soaps and great products. But if you look at that company, there's a few people at the top that made a big bunch of money. And then there's a bigger group of people, another group of people that made good money. Then there's another group of people that made a little money, and then there's a lot of people that just really, they aren't doing it anymore because they weren't making any money. Okay? That's an okay plan, but this is a God plan, not a good plan. It's a God plan. And if you'll follow this, I promise you, guaranteed results. There's no way it can fail because God has told us in his word what we need to do. Now, you're already kind of going, uh-oh, I know what I think he's going to talk about. He's going to talk about my money. You're right. That's what I'm going to talk to you about. But the thing is this. You know, we look at some things in the Word of God as law when they ought to be looked at as life. Jesus did not come to negate the law or do away with the law. He came to fulfill the law, but he made us able to live out the law. You know, the law in the Old Testament did nothing but point out your sin and make you realize you better make a sacrifice because you'll never get it right. But Jesus came, hallelujah, I feel the Holy Ghost on this, to set us free from the law, but not to negate the law. Do you get that? He came to make it fulfilled so that now the law, not only does it point out my sin, it's still there, it's still true, right? Do not steal, do not covet your neighbor's wife. Do we keep those commandments still as believers? Absolutely. The law's not over with. And people hide out under that. They say, well, I'm not under law, I'm under grace. Well, yeah, but Jesus came to fulfill the law. So you do need to follow the law, but you're set free from the penalty of the law because of Jesus and what he did for you on the cross. Amen? Well, that was good. Now, you guys keep amen and me good, I'll preach it good. I promise. That's another guarantee. But when I said that word money, and if I said an even dirtier word in some churches, tithing, something happens. People go, right? And women hide their pocketbook. People go, let's get to lunch before everybody else. Yeah, you know, there's a lot of folks that get uncomfortable with it. Let me tell you something. But here's the thing. If you're already tithing, you'll love it. You say amen to it, and you'll say everybody ought to get it, because if they would get it, they'd see how blessed they would be, because you know how blessed you are, amen? And God's got this for us as a church, if we'll do this one thing. I really believe it says, I was praying in here, and even with all the things going on, I made time to pray, because nothing happens if we don't pray, amen? Just like Pastor been saying, I'm telling you, church, that's another thing, if we get it, if when we, not just corporately here, but if you in your own time, if you will make your time at home to pray individually, God will corporately do something magnificent for you. And if we'll get, if we can as a church get hold of this thing, I think we'll achieve all the things God wants us to achieve. And if we don't, we're going to fall short. I'm just being honest. We're not going to be able to do, but I look at 30 acres and what I see is we were only looking for 10. And when we were out there with Dick Rubin, we took Dick Rubin out there to kind of talk to us. And you know what Dick said to us? You better triple your vision for what God wants to do. Three times the land, three times the vision. You better get ready. Now, if God gives you a vision, he's going to bring the provision. Amen? Amen. And I just want to make sure you understand, I'm not preaching this morning to get a raise, okay? Because my salary's already set. I do like hugs, but I don't mind a raise. But that's not what I'm preaching about. That's not what I'm trying to do this morning, okay? Because really, honestly, I believe you guys don't pay my, you don't pay my salary. God does. And if everybody in this church stopped tithing, God'd get me some money somehow. I know he would. But we need to follow it because God said to do it. And I want to show you today, this morning, I want to show you some reasons why you should do it. And maybe, I hope it will change your vision of what tithing is and that it's a freedom and a gift that we get to be involved in. It's not like I might tithe or, gee, okay, here it is, Lord. You know, we need to give saying, God, it's all yours anyway, and that's all you want back? Here it is. I'm thrilled to do it, God. Now I'm going to sit back and watch what you do with the 90. Because I'm telling you what, he'll do it. You heard one of my best friends in the world, Jeff Hudson, speak last week. He shared a little bit about the miracles God's been doing in his business, the things God's given him. But did you guys catch it? I sat there, I'd never heard him say that before, but he said, tell me if I get this right, but what I thought I heard him say was, we started tithing like we wanted to live. Am I right? You didn't tithe on what you had. You said, God, here's what we want to have. I'm going to tithe on that. Amen? And he tithe on the gross, not the net. God's first, not Uncle Sam. Okay? Come on. Now, there's some stuff here. If you'll open your heart, I'll step on your toes a little bit, but God's got something really wonderful for you. I'm telling you, I know this as a fact because from the day we got married, we have tithed faithfully, haven't we? And the things that God's done in our family has been amazing. If you came and looked at my house, you'd say, a pastor shouldn't have that house. Now, come on, we're paying him too much. That's not the case. But God takes what I have and multiplies it so I can have, there's no way I could afford the house I have. But God allowed me to get it for a way better price, hello, than I should have got it for, so that I can afford it, so that I can have those things. Amen? Now, I'm not into name it and claim it, but to a certain extent, you're going to get what you believe God for. And if all you believe God for is a little, you're stuck in poverty because you've got a poverty mindset, and God wants to break that off you this morning. I'll tell you, you better get ready because at the end of service, God's going to do something. I just know it. I just know it. Don't worry, I'm not going to ask you for money at the end of the service. I'm not. That's not what I'm going to do this morning. But the thing of it is, it really goes back to something simple that you've heard before. Have you ever heard people say, first things first? Got to do first things first? There's a lot of truth in that. And if we can go back... Can I get somebody to get me a little thing of water, a little cup of water or something? Brian, can you do that for me? I'm just a little dry. It's all that paint I swallowed last night, I think. I don't know. But the thing is, first things first, God cares about your money. You know there's 500 verses in this book about healing. Did you know that? 500 verses about healing. There's 500 verses in here about faith. There's 2,000 verses in here about money. You think God don't care about your money? You need to rethink. Just go, will you open it for me? Yeah, it's okay. I'm getting blessed here. I'm getting people take care of me. Oh, look at that. I got brownie points with her last night. We went out, I'm telling myself, we went out to Cracker Barrel, And I got in there first because she was driving, and she said, go on in and get us a seat. I told the gal, I said, when the most beautiful person you've ever seen comes in tonight and wants to sit down, long blonde hair, skinny, beautiful, just, she's with me. And she told her I said that. She goes, oh, brownie points, haven't I? I said, yeah, but I meant that. I really did mean that. Since she hadn't seen me for 2 months, yeah, she said. Yeah, she's looking real good. We won't go there. Okay. Because all you men know, you work too much, you won't play very much. Okay, I'm not going there. I'm hot, man. Am I red in the face? I'm as red as that line on my shirt, honey. Okay. Ooh, but it's right, isn't it? That's right. You know, 16 out of 38 parables in the Bible deal with money. As a matter of fact, the last public act of Jesus' public ministry wasn't a sermon. It wasn't a miracle. It was Jesus at the treasury. So if you've got your Bibles this morning, I want you to turn with me, if you would, to the book of Mark, chapter 12. And we're going to read verse 41 through 44. Mark 12, 41 through 44. I'm going to read from the King James. It's the only anointed version. I'm teasing. I just happen to have King James this morning. They're all good, amen? Every version. You know, we were talking, and I digress for just a minute, but I had an interesting conversation with a good friend of ours recently. We were talking about the truth in the Bible and that whether or not it's all literal. And this person was saying, well, I don't have a hard time believing that, you know, God could do the Jonah and the whale thing. I'm just not sure he was really in the bed. Man, be careful, folks, because it's one little step towards saying, well, I don't really believe in healing. Tear it out. I don't believe John 14, 6. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. Tear it out. You'd be a Jehovah's Witness. No, I'm kidding. But, if we really believe this, now I don't know how I got off on this rabbit trail. Anyway, let's just quit and go back. All right, verse 41. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples and said unto them, verily I say unto you, this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For they all did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all she had, even her living. Now you can give to God out of your extra, or you can give to God out of what little you don't have. But I want you to catch something this morning. You realize that when it says that, 2 mites, you want to know what that is? A mite would have been 1/128th of a day's wages. A denarius was a day's wage. 1/128th, that ain't a whole lot of money, is it? I don't know what you could buy in the world for that, why they even had that kind of coin. But she had 2 of those, and she put them in. And the thing here is, there's a principle that if we can get this, I believe it really will establish some of these things that God wants to do here this morning. I am going to just check some of these. You know, when I was getting ready for this, and I was thinking all these things and doing some research, and I heard some of this on the radio, but then I did some further digging into it. Do you know in Herod's temple, there were 13 treasuries in the court of women? Now, treasury was like a big box that people put their money in, but how many of you know what an RCA Victrola is? Like an old, had the big funnel-shaped thing on the front, right, or on the top, and it looked like a trumpet or a megaphone or whatever you want to call it. The treasury was a box with one of those on the top to make sure the money got down in. And a lot of people learned how to get all their coins out and throw them in such a way that it make a lot of noise, and everybody go, wow, they gave a lot of money. And really, they became known in that society as zingers. That was the name they used for them, because they learned how to zing that money in there, make a lot of noise. But you know, when you give like that, boy, they're giving for attention, aren't they? They want everybody to think, oh, look at me, look what I'm giving. That's what was wrong in this story that we just read about. People were giving out of their abundance, thinking, oh, look at me, look at all I'm going to give. Instead of, God, this is what I have, and I'm going to give you what I have. Now, don't worry, I'm not asking anybody to go mortgage your house this morning and give your money to the church. We're not about that. We don't believe in that. God wants you to be smart with your money. He wants you to be prudent. But we need to be willing to give the things God asks for. And he doesn't ask for that much, just a tenth. Why does God have so much to say about giving and stewardship? Well, it's because of this. If you think about money for just a minute, your money, really, it's the energy of your life compressed. Now think about it for a minute. If you want to eat, you got to have money, right? If you want to put clothes on your back and your kids back, you got to have money. If you want to have a house with a roof over your head, you got to have money, right? Not a whole lot. If you want a car to get around in, you got to have money. Everything you work for is money. Now, it's our society. That's the way we do things. If you go back to like Native American culture, people taught you, I'm sure you heard it in history class, wampum, right? They all traded. They traded blankets. They traded beads. They traded. That was the energy of their life compressed. Those were the things. They would go out. They would hunt. They would get the bison. They'd take the hide, and they would make clothes out of it. They used every bit of it, and they would use that to trade with, because that's the energy of their life compressed. Do you see where I'm going? Am I making an obvious point here? So your money is merely the energy of your life compressed, and God cares about your life. And God has a plan for your life. You can tell a lot about a person if you look at their checkbook. You can tell where their heart is. You really can. If they're spending all their money out on cable, TV, step on somebody's toe. You know, because, man, I got to have HBO and I got to have all this extra stuff. Or they're spending all their money on Xbox 360 and the games and all that. You know where their heart's at, okay? You really do. But if you look at their checkbook and you see, man, giving to missions, giving to this, man, you know where their heart is. You see what I'm saying? And God cares about that just as much as he cares about healing, just as much as he cares about your faith and these other things. We have to be careful in the church that we don't grab one subject and that's all we focus on. You know what I'm saying? Some churches are in trouble today because they talk about these things every Sunday. And then a lot of people go, I ain't going to that church anymore. All they ever do is talk about money. Well, because they focused on one thing. You go to some other churches and all they ever talk about is faith, 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 faith. You need more, 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 faith, faith, faith. And it gets to be old because they're missing it. You got to preach a balanced gospel. Amen. And so I'm just bringing you a part you don't hear all the time. And it's okay. Don't think I'm doing this because he didn't want to. It was just a God thing. No, it's really. It's not the Lone Ranger here. Tonto didn't go to town to get beat up, okay? Did you ever watch that show, though? That used to crack me up every time. Tonto, you go to town. And Tonto get the snot whooped out of him, you know? He'd come back, oh, Kimasabi, they beat me good. You know, just watch one here say Tonto say, uh-uh, I ain't going to town, you go to town, you know? Okay, God, you know, I'm speaking this because God laid it on my heart, and he made Owen sensitive to that, and Owen asked me to do it. You see what I'm saying? It was a God thing. So it has nothing to do with that. You know, on the other hand, he doesn't have to be in trouble, because if you're mad, you can be mad at me. It's okay. So, but I know he's right with me on all these things. This is something that, again, if we get this as a church, where God can take us it's exponential compared to where he'll take us if we don't get it. See, because the thing is, if you tithe and I tithe, and you tithe and you tithe and you tithe and you, and if we all tithe and 100% of people tithing, then there's a blessing that will come on the body beyond just me. And if, see, God's going to bless me if I tithe no matter what you do. But if we want to be blessed corporately, we need to get where it's not 20% of the people pulling 80% of the weight. But that's what it is in most churches. Now, we are blessed here to do the things we do and do. I suspect we're doing a little bit better than that, or we wouldn't have paid a lot of things off. I also tell you this. I would not want to be someone. I don't know what you do, and I don't want to know. I would never want to know, because I think it would make me really sad for some of you who have so much to see how little you give. And I'm not saying that to be mean, but it is the truth. And you know, most people don't tithe for a few reasons. It's either because they say, well, that's Old Testament. And in the New Testament, it's not really taught in the New Testament. So that was Old Testament. I don't have to do that. Well, that's just retarded. That's, I mean, really, it is. That's like saying, well, in the Old Testament, God said, don't cheat on your wife. But he didn't talk about that much in the New Testament, so, you know, I'd go ahead and do it. You know, or God said, don't murder. It's Old Testament. That's law. And I'm not under law. I'm under grace, so I can go out and kill somebody. You see what I'm saying? How ridiculous that is. Sorry, I'm spitting all over everything. But, you know, God is, he's concerned about your money, and he does care about your money. It's the energy of your life compressed. Money in so many ways shows who we are and what we're about. Now, here's the thing. If Jesus took so much care and interest in the money, about money in here, if there's 2,000 verses in here about money and possessions, do you think he cares about it? And if he cared about it then, do you think he cares about it now? I mean, honestly, you know, God doesn't change. We change. God doesn't change. Don't give him your change. Okay, I'm sorry. If the text for the word watch in this is one of the things that really stuck out to me as I read these verses. It says watch or beheld, depending on the translation you have. The word that we most could compare that to is theater. You ever go to the movies and you watch something? And you're intent. You're really watching. Watching everything. You don't miss anything. People start talking. You're like, would you please shut up? You know, kids are going, if you don't whoop them, I will. No, I'm kidding. But you're watching with all intensity because you really don't want to miss anything. That's the way Jesus was watching what people were doing. Because I believe this, he didn't want to see what they were doing outwardly. He wanted to see their heart. He wanted to see why they were doing what they were doing and the way they were doing it. You know, if you go to Africa and you go to a service there, some of these places, the people have nothing. Owen can tell you, he's been there. I've not been to Africa, but I've been to Haiti. People don't have a thing. But man, when they take the offering, they do it kind of like we did. They come to the front, but man, they dance and get down. You know what I'm saying? It's an excited part of their service. They're so joyful about doing it, and they don't have anything to give. And they're like, I don't have anything. Here it is anyway, God. Here you go. But man, we would never think of doing that. Why? Because they're not so tied to money because they don't have much. You see what I'm saying? Now, you can be poor and have a poverty mentality, and you're just as stuck as a rich person who has a lot and just won't give. You see what I'm saying? Because if, you know, some people hide behind the abundance that they have and don't want to give. Other people hide behind the little they have. And we as a church make a mistake when we go to them and say, well, God understands if you can't give this week because, you know, you just didn't, you know, the cash didn't come in. Somebody ripped you off or whatever. No, no, that's not true. God wants you to give regardless. You don't give. You cannot reap what you have not sown. Do you understand what I'm saying? You can't. It's sowing and reaping. You have to sow first. So if you say, you know, I wake up every day and it's like, what were we laughing about? Thank you, Lord, may I have another. You know, that's another bad thing happened. Thank you, Lord. You know, if you're living like that, I challenge you. Start to give before you have. You see what I'm saying? Trust God. He wants to develop your faith. It's the only place in the Bible where he says, test me and see if I won't. What's the rest? Anybody know? Open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing which you can't be measured, pressed down and shaken and overflowing. You see what I'm saying? Now, how many of you guys, I love a frozen Coke. But you know, when I was a kid, frozen Coke, maybe it's partly because I'm a kid, but it just seemed better. They seemed heavy, you know, and it was kind of like a big thing. You had to slurp hard to get it out. Now it's like air. Have you noticed that? You go get a frozen Coke, and people laugh at me. I'm in there getting a frozen Coke. I get a little bit, and I go boom, 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 shake that thing, try to get it, because I want more. I want my money's worth. Come on, man. I want a bunch of air. Sometimes I'll put a little bit of regular Coke in there to water it down a little bit, and yeah. That's okay. You can get you know, free drinks at the. Have you seen that commercial? Okay, anyway, it's okay to get free drinks. They've always been allowed. You can take early sips. Anyway, but as you know, as I was preparing and thinking about this shaking down, that's what I'm doing. I'm trying to get more. I'm trying to make room for more. Right? When I worked for Culligan, I put salt people's softener. This is terrible. I'm telling on myself. But, you know, and I was almost enough room for another bag. You know what I did, man? I grabbed that thing, shake it down, get another bag in, because that was money for me. That's true. There's nothing wrong with that. Right? That was my job. Then they didn't have to call me in the middle of the week and say, I'm out of salt. Could you please come? You know, I make sure they had enough. I wanted to make sure they were leveled off, topped off. But you can always make more room if you shake something. God wants to do that. He wants to take your wallet this morning. I'm not going to throw my wallet. I got a new wallet. I can't get it out of my pocket. Okay. It ain't because it's so big. I got one that's bigger like that, and it's thinner, so it doesn't, I get backache, you know, sitting on that wallet. But if God wants to take that wallet, he wants to shake it and make more room in it. I'm saying he wants to take your purse and wants to shake that. Maybe what, I'll do that. No, I won't. I won't have you do. Take your wallet and your purse and let's shake them. No. You never know what God would, you never know what God's going to do when I get up here. Oh, my. Amen. Oh, careful. But you know what? I got these extra books. I'm gonna, you're my friend. These guys, you know what, folks? These are the folks that we're renting the building from. Can I just tell you how they blessed our youth group? They're doing it for so much less than they would normally get. And they've given us a lot of materials. And can we all just say thank you? That they're going, what are you doing? I'm telling you, say thanks to the Pritchetts. I appreciate them. I really do. And that book is, anybody else want a book about blessing? I got one more. Huh? Come on. Hands up. Throw it out. You want to throw it? Is somebody going to catch it? Here you go. Hand really going up, like she's like, I sat right down to her, would you? That to Tammy. I'm telling you, that was my copy, but I'll get me another one. I'm telling you, that is one of the most tremendous books I've ever read in my life. It's called The Blessed Life by Robert Morris. Yeah, here's the deal. I gave those to you. When you're finished reading it, give it to somebody else and have them read it. God wants you to be blessed in all areas of your life. And that book was such a freeing thing when I read it. I mean, I was already tithing. I was already doing the right things. But it helped me understand the joy I could have in my giving and how God wanted to bless my life. It's so much more than just tithing. It's a tremendous book. So, you know, get that book if you want to know more about tithing. The Blessed Life by Robert Morris. You know, God has established this principle of tithing and of giving. It's all throughout his word. Matter of fact, I want to just now get into this other part of my sermon. Boy, I got to hurry, don't I? Whew. Well, we can stay a little long, can't we? I'll try to be done on time. But I want to ask you this morning, in the Bible, when an offering was brought, when the tithe was brought in, when you did these things, there also was needed to be a sacrifice. Someone tell me to turn me up. Can you hear me out there? Okay, can people in the back, can you hear me okay? Especially if I'm shouting. I'm going to shout a little bit more. Now I lost track. See, okay, the offering that you bring. When, you know, there was a sacrifice that needed to be made. See, the thing is, there needs to be, for something to be redeemed, for your money to be redeemed, you need to give. There needs to be a sacrifice made. You see what I'm saying? It's all throughout the Bible. Old Testament, what did they do? They had to take the lamb without spot and blemish. They had to go sacrifice it before the Lord. You see what I'm saying? Hold on here. If you can stay with me for just a minute. Well, that's what Jesus was for us, right? The Lamb of God. His blood was shed for the sins of the world that there might be remission of our sins, right? There was a sacrifice made so that you and I could be redeemed. And God wants to do that with your money. But you've got to be willing to make that sacrifice. So I told Brian earlier, he was asking me about a title. I said, I don't know that I have a title. But if I put a title on this message, it would be, what offering are you going to bring? That's really my question to us as a church. Are we just going to throw $5 in the plate because it's what I got left over? Or am I going to make God first and am I going to tithe before I do anything else saying, okay, God, I don't know how this is going to work. You know, maybe you look at your bills and you say, God, if I tithe, there's not going to be enough money to. Am I right, Jeff? Just go ahead and tithe and see what God will do. How many people in here have ever done something like that and God has come through for you? You went ahead and you tithe. You knew the money wasn't there, but you put it in anyway. You see that? There's a lot. I challenge you this morning. But here's the challenge. I'm challenging us as a church to tithe. Don't try it for 3 weeks. Don't try it for a month. You need to try it for 1 year. The reason I say that is because I think it takes that whole year for you to really see what God will do. Wait till your tax check comes back. You know what I'm saying? Wait till you see at the end what God has done with the money you've given. Don't try it for a little while. Give it some time. And don't miss a week. If you go away on vacation, I know I'm stepping on toes here. Am I okay so far, brother? Okay. All right. But if you go away on vacation and you just miss your tithe and you don't come back and put more in the next week, I love you. You're not tithing. You're not. Because it would be similar to, I've used this illustration with the kids before. It'd be similar to me getting ready to get married. And my wife saying to me, well, now, for 51 weeks out of the year, I'm going to be faithful to you. But on that 52nd week, I need to be with my old lovers and I want to run around. Is that, there ain't a guy in here who would take that deal. It'd be, no deals, right? I mean, ain't nobody going to take that deal. No, nobody who has any respect for themselves anyway wouldn't take it. Same thing with God. He doesn't want you to be faithful 51 weeks out of the year. Hello. You need to be faithful 52 weeks out of the year. And watch what God will do. You know, if you're not doing something, what was it that Jeff said earlier? If something isn't working for you, just keep doing the same thing and things won't change or something. I'm probably getting it wrong, but you got to do something different if you want your situation to change. So you're here this morning and you say, Pastor Adam, I can't tithe. I can't. I say to you, that's baloney. You sure can. And if you do, you watch and see what God will do. It's a guarantee. If he doesn't do it for you, come talk to me. I'm serious. I want to know because I don't believe that. Now, again, you can't do it for just a little bit and then say, well, I tried it for 2 weeks and nothing happened. Well, then keep on trying. You're not done yet. God's trying to work a principle in your life and you need to get this. Now, a lot of you, I'm looking around, I'm seeing, man, I'm getting this. Or, you know, people are, the rest of you, I love you, but you need to hear this. And I'm telling you because I know. I'm telling you, God showed me if we can get this, at the end of this service, we're gonna have a little bit of an altar call, but then there's more God wants to do. The Holy Ghost is going to take over. I'm believing that. Amen. Anybody want the Holy Ghost to take over? Right? Right? Okay? Because you don't need to hear what I have to say, but you do need to hear what he has to say. So I'm trying to stick with the word here. Jesus was our tithe. It literally, he was the first fruits. God gave his first, his best, and he was sacrificed so that we can be redeemed. I said this about sacrifice and redemption. Let me just get into this next part real quick. If you go to Genesis chapter 4, verse 1 through 7, matter of fact, just in the interest of time, I'm not going to read it, but it's about Cain and Abel bringing their offering to God. And it says that Cain's offering was not accepted. God didn't regard it. He didn't want that offering, but he took Abel's. Now, I don't know about you, but I used to read that when I was younger, and I thought, well, that really made me mad. I mean, you know, here's Cain. That's all he's got. It's the field. He's bringing you what he's got. No. He wasn't doing what God had required, and it implies that he knew what he should do because God says to him in a few verses later, Cain, you know what you're supposed to do. If you do it, will I not regard your offering as well? But if you don't do it, sin's lying at the door waiting. And I'm telling you, if you won't be faithful with this little bit, that's tangible. That's easy. Come on. Put a little money in the offering plate. That's easy. But you do that. If you can't do that, I'm telling you, I say it in love, there's sin lying wait at your door. Something is wanting to get at you. You want to live under God's blessing? You want to stay under his umbrella? We've been talking about the spirit, the soul, the body being under God's umbrella. You better get right in there with your money too. You can't be under the umbrella and hold your wallet out here. It doesn't work. It'll get wet. Okay? It'll get wet. But Abel brought his first and his best. He brought the firstlings and the fat. Cain just brought whatever he had. He didn't bring, later we read about grain offerings, seed offerings, and this was like, well, wait a minute, God, later on you're saying it was okay. What? No, it says he brought the fruit. He brought what he had. He didn't bring the seed. It had no power of recreation. There's a lot, man, I can speak a whole other message on this, okay? I won't, because we don't have enough time. Maybe some other time. But God is wanting us to understand that there was extreme value attached to Abel's sacrifice because there was the power of recreation. He didn't just give up the lamb. He gave up every lamb that lamb would have begat. You see what I'm saying? But Cain just gave the fruit, which if he doesn't give it, well, it just rots and dies and goes away. You see what I'm saying? There's no power. Your money has the power to recreate. I wonder, have you ever heard the song Thank You? And it talks about, I get all messed up. I start talking about this song. But it talks about you're going to get to heaven and you're going to see all the things God did with your life. You get to see the blessings. and the things, and somebody might come to you and say, man, you remember that time the pastor talked about tithing, and man, you got it. Man, it got in your spirit. You said, I'm going to start doing that. God took that money, and when they took up an offering for the China Fire Bible, the church put in this much more, and some of that was your tithe, and I got saved because they got the Fire Bible, and they got to meet. You see what I'm saying? There is a power of a recreation in your money. And if we can get this as a church, God can exponentially advance what he wants to do in us. That's good preaching. I know it is. Thank you, Lord. It's not me. God doesn't want what you have left. He wants your best. He wants your first. Have you ever thought about this? Does it seem at times that God only asks you for, this is kind of in youth terms because I speak to the youth all the time, but I've asked him, you know, has it ever seemed to you like he only wants the things that matter most to you? He wants those songs that are on your iPod. Amen. He does. He wants that relationship with that guy that, oh man, whoo, if I could just have him. And maybe he don't know the Lord. God wants that. He says, you don't need that. I want you to give that to me. Give that to me. He wants friendships, money, fashion. I talked to the kids about that. You know, the girls, boy, there's a thing, you know, especially junior high, they really want to fit in. Have you ever seen this, parents? Hey, man, it's so hard. Everybody wants to be a part of something bigger than themselves, and they want to fit in. And yet they go shopping, and the skirt that looks like a scarf, you know, that they want to buy, God wants that. He said, that's not okay. You see what I'm saying? God wants those things that matter to you most. And the reason is for that is because he wants your best. He doesn't want what's left over. He wants the things that matter to you. But if all you're willing to give God is that which costs you little or nothing, you can bet he won't accept it. And sin is lying wait at the door of your heart. And I could get in. There's a lot more notes. I'm not even going to do that. I'm going to do this other thing that I feel like God told me I need to do. Now, don't worry. I already said I'm not taking your money. Here's my offering plate. I got big expectations, don't I? I'll put it right here. But here's what I'm asking you. See, Old Testament is you give just your tithe and your offering. But New Testament is you give your all. Read Acts chapter 5. You don't believe me. People come together. They give everything they had. Don't worry. I'm not asking you to give us the mortgage to your house. I already told you that. But if that's your heart, you see what I'm saying? If that's how you feel in your heart, God, everything I've got is yours. You do with it whatever you want. If that's your heart, God will just advance you in the kingdom of God. There's some folks in this church that on a regular basis come up and give me what I like to call the Pentecostal handshake. There's a little money in their hands, and they just tell me, do it with the youth, whatever you want. Man, that's a God thing. I thank God for people that are willing to do that because they understand this. They're amen in me in their spirit. A couple of them, I asked them before service, I said, be praying for me because, you know, this is so important. And if people can get this, what God can do. But that's Old Testament. We used to, Owen and I used to be involved in worship at another church before we were here. And often when we would pray in the back, he would say, Lord, more of you and less of me. More of you and less of me. And one day I said, you know what? That's Old Testament. That's John the Baptist. More of you and less of me. But Paul said, I die daily. All of you and none of me. That needs to be, now be careful if you pray that, because I'm telling you, he will rock. I got him to pray it. God rocked your world, didn't he? But look, hey man, but look around. You see what God's doing? You got, now you see, there's a perfect example. And what God wants us to do is not kind of walk by the plate and throw money in so people hear us. He doesn't want us to walk by the plate and say, well, I got $5 left, I'm going to put it in. He doesn't even just want you to come by the plate and put in your tithe. That's where it starts. But God wants you to get in the plate and say, God, here I am, every part of me, not just my money. How about my gifts and my talents? There's some of you, what is that? Hey, saxophone player. You knew it was coming. We was talking about it this morning. This guy can play the sax now, I'll tell you. If you have a gift and you're not using it for God, you need to get in the plate this morning. Say, God, he's not going to sell it anymore, not after this morning. If he does, I'm going to buy him another one. But God wants you, this is what he wants from us, folks. He wants everything that we are. But you know what? I'm going to encourage you, don't come and do that if you don't really mean it. Because if you do, you're going to put yourself under a curse. You know, God says we should be careful when we make vows to God, because if we don't keep them, it would be so much better for us never to have made them. That's the first verse I read after I came back to Christ. The first verse I read was, if you make a vow to God, be sure you keep it, or you'll be worse off than you were in the beginning. Man, I mean, you know, I'm a spiritual slow learner. God didn't say, oh, I love you, Adam. It's okay. He said, you better keep that vow, boy. You see what I'm saying? But it worked. My hair has nothing to do with it. It's okay. I lost my hair. I cut it off. But one of my kids said, man, you look good with that hair. That looked good on you. So, you know, God loves me no matter what. God doesn't care about all that stuff. And I know that we as a church, most everybody here gets it. He doesn't care if you're wearing jeans or you're wearing a suit and a tie. God doesn't care if you got $1 million in the bank or you got $5. God cares about what are you going to do with it. You know, the average person, if from the time they're 25 to 65, the average earnings in the U.S. is $50,000 a year. Okay? If you're earning, and that's not, it's an average out over that lifespan too. You might not start out making that much, but you might make more than that in the end. Anyway, if that's what we do, we're going to give account to God for about $500,000. What'd you do with it? Now think about that for a minute. That's 50 grand I need to give God somewhere along the line, at least. I mean, some, you know, when you got your tithe statement, if you looked at that and you went, how did I give that much? I don't make that much. Man, God bless you, and you've been blessed, and you know it. You see what I'm saying? If you looked at your statement and said, I only gave that, then pay attention to what you're doing. Because God wants, there's a blessing waiting for you. Just like sin is lying, there's a blessing waiting for you. That's what God said to Cain. If you do right, will I not honor yours as well? So this morning, here's what we're going to do. We got about 10 minutes left, and if we go a little over, well, stick around if you want the Holy Ghost. Who knows what's going to happen? I don't know. I may turn it back over to Pastor and see what God wants to do. But what I want us to do, if you'll all stand with me for just a moment. Kirsten, I'm going to ask you, would you come up and play this piano for me, hon? I could belabor the issue. I could keep going. There's so much more to be said about money, about tithing. Was this for anybody this morning? Did anybody get anything good out of it? I mean, don't worry. I'm not asking, are you going to tithe? Although God might be asking you that. But there's more than that. What God wants from us is everything we are. And I'm going to tell you, if you'll do it, he'll give you everything he has. You can't really say, Jesus, you're all I need, if he's never been all you've had. But some of you know what I'm talking about. There's been a time in your life you had nothing but him. Am I right? God, he wants you again. He wants you to come to a place where you'll say, God, here I am, every part of me. You can have it all. You can do whatever you want because I just want to be used by you. I just want to be right with you, and I just want everything you have in Jesus' name. If everybody would just bow your heads for just a minute, and all across this room with nobody looking around, if you'd be honest before God and you'd say, God, even if I'm tithing, I need to get that place. Maybe it's a sin you're holding on to, and God says, I want to set you free. You need to get in that plate. Maybe it is a money issue. There's so many things it could be, but there's a part of you you've not yet given to God. He wants you to get in this plate and just give it. Now, I don't know how we'll do this fast, so stick around if you're willing. But I just want you, if we could come down the center aisle, and just, if you want to do it, step in the plate. Nobody has to do it. But before we do it, with every head bowed, every eye closed, I want to do two things. First, is there anybody here this morning? You'd say, man, I don't know about this tithing thing. I don't even know Jesus. Is there anybody here? If you were honest before God, you would say, I don't really even know the Lord this morning. I don't have a relationship with him, but I want one. Is there anyone in this place that's you? Trust that we're all believing then. So here's my next question to you. Is there anybody in this place? Nobody's looking around but me. With every head bowed, every eye closed. But you would say, Pastor Adam, that's me. I need to get in that offering plate. Can I just see your hand? God's looking down. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Anybody else? And there's a few. I'm surprised. The rest of you, I'm going to be honest. Miss this. Don't miss it. Is there anybody else? Come on, if you're honest before God, there's things you're holding back. That's right. Come on, there's somebody else. That's right, that's right, that's right. There's somebody else. Come on, that's right. Come on, somebody else. That's right. Amen, I see those hands. We want to give you that opportunity to do that this morning. And I'm just going to ask that everybody else, just keep your head bowed, your eye closed, really. It's not about watching what they do. But if you want to be the first one, just come on. You can come around, and there's not that many, but it's going to be a problem. Get in that plate. Say, Jesus, here I am, all of me this morning. That's right. If you fall out in the plate, it's okay. We'll drag you to the side. God, whoa, I didn't mean to make that happen. Thank you, Lord. She's all right. Just go around her. Let God do what he's going to do. Don't nobody touch her. It's okay. If I can get a couple guys to come up here real quick. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, we can go this other way. It's all right, guys. It's okay. Thank you, Jesus. Just let God do. Don't feel like you have to hurry. Can we just sing this song she's playing? Do you really mean this? I'm coming after you. Come on, sing this with me. I'm coming after you. 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 Coming after you, coming after you.
I'm coming after you.
Lord, this is our heart this morning. We're coming after you, God, with everything we have. Lord, as we stand in this plate, would you make a miracle take place in our lives?
I'm coming after you. I'm coming after you. Coming after you. I'm coming after you. I'm coming after you. I'm coming after you. I'm coming after you, Lord. I'm coming after you. I'm coming after you.
All you got to do is step in and step out. The Lord knows exactly what you're doing. Yes, Lord.
I'm coming after you. 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 Coming after you. I am yours, and you are mine. I refuse to be denied, and all of you is my heart's cry.
I'm telling you, step out this morning. If you're not going to do this, I'm telling you, take a step of faith and do it.
I'm telling you. After you.
You're just saying, God, it's
I'm
an offering of me this morning.
After you.
Every area, God. Every area. I'm giving it to you, Jesus. Every area, God. Lord, I'm saying I want all of you and none of me.
I'm coming after you. I'm coming after you. I'm coming after you.
Don't let your pride stop you. Don't let your pride stop you. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
I'm coming after you. I'm coming after you. I'm coming after you.
You know, I just heard the Holy Spirit say clearly to me, he's watching right now. And he is happy. He's pleased with your response. And there are probably many more of you that if you really are honest before God, you need to step in.
Yes,
we're not trying to work anything up or make you do
yes,
something.
Lord, come. Yes,
I just want to encourage you, don't miss what God wants to do in your life. He's watching you this morning, and He's pleased with your response.
He's a heart examiner, and He's watching your heart. He's saying, are you going to give me it all? Are you going to give it all? You can't hold back in that area. You can't say, God, no, I'm not going to give you this relationship. No, God, I'm not going to give you this opportunity, Lord, to get into this situation. No, God said, I'm giving it all to you, Jesus. I'm giving it all, God has said to you. I'm looking at you. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Come on, give it all to Him this morning. And after you, I'm coming after you.